Ready to go on a Tuesday. Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and Jeremy Otto on the updates. Good morning.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm fired up for the show we have today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're giving away some money later with the two Grand Slam. It's Tuesday.
Huh?
We have a college football topic that I think is perfect because we've always bitched about the sport.
Yeah. We'll
give you a chance to freeze it in time. We'll do that later in the show. You have a Lions observation we've been dying to get to, and I think today's the day to do it.
Yeah, one that there may be some irritation involved.
I get this feeling that you want to grab and like shake some of us.
Yes, I don't hide my feelings well. My wife tells me I wear it all over my face when she says, "Are you fine?" Yeah.
We're gonna do all that. I know there's someone linking Durant to the Pistons. Gonna have to put a pin in that. John, the Tigers didn't play last night.
They did not. It was an off night, which is always kind of a downer when you don't have a chance to watch the team with the best record in baseball follow up a series with the Cubs. And yeah, okay, we're gonna be able to watch them tonight. Everything will be fine. But thought we were gonna have another great hockey game last night.
Kind of a dud.
Well, it was a little bit of a dud, and it kind of felt like the Panthers just said, Edmonton, thank you. The first two games were fun, but we want to make sure that, you know, hey, we played with you guys for a little bit. We're just going to distance ourselves from you guys. And it's a little bit of what both you and I thought going into this series. It was going to be more Panthers than Oilers. Doesn't mean it's not still going to be a seven-game series, but I mean, they were dominant last night. And when you play like that at home, and I think that's where the issue is Friday night is then isn't Friday night Thursday night. Thursday night's the next game. I kind of look at it like I don't know that Edmonton has a chance on the road against Florida, and if Florida goes up 3-1, we know what happens.
Well, it's funny.
Most of the time.
Last year, Florida was up 3-0, and it still got to 7. Like, I'm not going to count the Oilers out.
No.
But I don't like their matchup here, especially when Florida's at home and they can put the Barkov line out against McDavid. They get the last line change.
Yeah.
And that Marchand line, like, that's not a number 3 line on most hockey teams. This guy is the ultimate pest, but the ultimate competitor. He's had big moments. He scored the first goal last night, part of a 2-0 lead. And at 4-1, the Bennett goal on the breakaway, they broke him, at least for that night. I mean, that game was over effectively with that fourth goal.
Yeah.
Then you got Jake Walman squirting a water bottle on the bench. Like, hey, dude, probably not in the moment. Probably not right now while we're down 3 goals. Did you see that video? He's like shooting the water
bottle.
So he's on his bench, and he squirted one of those Gatorade bottles over to the Florida bench. It's like...
Scoreboard.
Yeah, dude.
Is that why he's not here?
Yes. Yes, we finally found out.
He's a squirter.
Yes, John. No and no.
Squirting water bottles.
But read the room.
Right.
Read the room.
Read
anyway.
The room. The arena.
So that was on last night. The Tigers didn't play. We did have this observation post-show yesterday. You know, we kind of sit down and Tom's looking back. And you were the first to point this out. That last... the comparison that we've done from time to time, the 06 Tigers to this year's Tigers, they had the same record through the same number of games. And it got us thinking, which team was better between the two of them, head to head? That 06 team, in a lot of ways, you see the parallels. They woke up the city, got people falling in love with baseball again.
Okay, so pretty much what they've done. I mean, they woke up and got we fell in love with baseball again at the end of last year.
But the effect we can remember back from 06. That team did not win the division. They did play for the World Series. John, if you had to compare the two teams, which team is better?
Well, and without going, you know, position by position, because I know you've got that.
I know
you do. I'm
going
to save that for you. It's hard to tell because there were more, in my opinion. You had Verlander, superstar. I don't know that there's not a superstar on this team other than Skubal. So you've got superstar for superstar, but there were more stars, I think, on the 06 team.
So they had 3 all-stars, not the only way to measure it. They had Pudge, they had Mags, and they had Kenny Rogers. That was a young Verlander. This version of Skubal is the polished version of what JV would become. So I think Edge The edge pitching, I believe, is with this year's
with
Tigers.
With this year's Tigers team, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, so we know some of the personalities more of the 06 team, and it's hard to do this because we're so much further down the road, and it's hard to keep post-2006 Verlander out of our minds.
Yeah, so when I did this, some of it was predictable. 06, the offense was better.
Right.
This year's team, the pitching is better. Some of that is the shift of baseball in the last 19 to 20 years, where we have more strikeout relievers and fireballers, and the breaking pitches are nastier, and offense has gone down. Right? I mean, fighting
across
to get
Major League Baseball.
Yeah, fighting to get a 700 OPS to keep your spot in the lineup. That Tigers team was a much better team offensively when you look at the numbers. But I did go position by position, and I reached the conclusion, John,
yeah,
that this year's team is better. So here's how I did it. Catcher, Pudge, I gave the nod to the 2006 Tigers.
Yeah, so if we do this, say we do this another 20 years,
yeah,
I don't know that we're going to be able to look back and say Dingler, because I think he is, obviously his best days are still ahead of him.
Yeah,
we're going to look back and go, that might be a little bit tighter by the end of the season than you think.
I don't, because Pudge is one of the greatest catchers of all time. He hit 300 that year and was an all-star. I mean, I'm not predicting that for Dylan Dingler, and it's no slight to Dylan Dingler.
I'm not predicting that either, but I'm saying it's on the table.
Okay. Put you down for 4 or 5 gold gloves, few silver sluggers, and an MVP. Spitballing. Okay, Pudge's resume is probably comparable to that.
Yeah, but we have moments when we're watching Dingler.
Think I'm watching Pudge.
Okay, but you're just doing this season.
Yes.
And although he may not duplicate Dingler, off the top of my head, I think, wasn't Pudge like 19 homers or something like that? Anyways.
13. Yeah.
Okay, so I think it's unfair to throw in Hall of Famer. You just grabbed Scooble and you said they've got the polished Verlander. Okay, so we've got the declining Pudge. I'm not
still
saying
grizzled
that you're
vet, still
taking,
clutch.
But you're using talking points aren't in play for a single season.
I'm saying that version of Pudge,
it's still
grizzled
better.
Vet is better. Yes. Okay. Yes.
But you were using Hall of Famer. That has nothing to do with it. It's a single season.
Right.
Because then I'm going to use Hall of Famer Justin Verlander.
Okay. We'll go one at a time here. We're not disputing catcher as the edge to the 06 Tigers. First base, I gave our ball club this season the edge, Torkelson over Chris Shelton. Cool with that?
Yes.
Okay. Second base, I loved Placido Polanco. I gave the edge to Gleyber Torres.
I would agree with that as well.
Because this version of Gleyber Torres doesn't strike out, walks a ton, more walks than strikeouts, OPS like 100 points higher.
Yeah.
It's Gleyber. Maybe an all-star Gleyber Torres. Third base, Brandon Inge. Brandon Inge.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Shortstop, Guillen, that's 06.
Okay.
Left field, Riley Green versus Craig Monroe. I went Riley Green.
No Simo.
No. Center field. Actually, I'm looking back at my notes. I never scored center field.
Curtis Granderson.
Or Parker Meadows. So you want to score that for me? And I'll just add it to the end. Tom loves Parker Meadows. He might have to sit this one out.
I would have to go Curtis Granderson because, I mean, Parker Meadows didn't play for the first, 50 games of the season, but a little bit more than that.
Okay, we'll put Granderson on.
And he hit almost, 19 home runs.
Yeah, the Grandy man, king of the triple, great center field defense. Okay, right field, I gave Maglio the nod over Kerry Carpenter, and I think this is a tight one.
I don't know that it's tight. I would have to go with Mags.
Okay.
Because I just think he was better at the plate. Carp may end up hitting more home runs.
And he may have a clutch postseason moment still in the future. Had one last year.
Possibly.
I think it's close, but I went Mags. Fair?
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
DH, I went Marcus Thames over Cole Keith. More power, DH spot. Cool.
More power?
For Marcus Thames? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm looking at the wrong numbers.
So I had 6-3, the 06 Tigers win at the plate. But then pitching is where things flipped dramatically for me. I went Scooble over, who's the ace? Kenny Rogers? Verlander? Scooble wins. Flaherty, better numbers than either of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mize, Robertson? I went Mize. Olson, Bonderman? I went Olson. Canely, Zamaya? I went Canely. Vest, Todd Jones? I went Vest. It's a clean sweep pitching, and it flips the script. So, there you have it.
I mean, I, it's so hard to tell because we know that that team went to the World Series but didn't get it. And
didn't win the division.
Yes. This team right now, and maybe it's because, what were the expectations for that 06 team going
in? Nothing.
I know there was nothing, but there was.
Show up to the ballpark, sell a few peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. And very much the same as, and maybe the expectations for this team were a little higher.
Oh, I think they were.
Yes.
Coming off a playoff appearance.
But we, I mean, let's go back to this.
500, though. At least 500. I don't think people thought the 06 Tigers would be a 500 ball club.
No. And they didn't. There was no expectation.
By the way, the parallel here to tie it together, the 06 Tigers got in a really big summer swoon where they couldn't stop winning. And they were 70-35 at the end of July. If you look at the Tiger schedule here, ..
It could happen as well. Yes. But then you look at the end of the season for that 06 team and leading into the playoffs, it wasn't like they were going in there as the hot team.
Nope.
I think the best thing about this conversation is that we're just at the beginning of a great era of Tiger baseball. That team had players that were very important and crucial in terms of building that era of Tigers 06-14. And there were players that weren't on that team, like Miggy, and it shows you what you can do with top prospects potentially down the road and to really, like, put together a power here. Like, it's encouraging that we've got this. Now, the big difference is that JV was a rookie, and Scooble's contract is looming.
Always comes back to that.
In a year and a half.
Yes. Not this year's problem. Probably a tough offseason conversation. All right, 248-539-9797. It's 97.1.
Hey, summer is upon us, and maybe you need that AC rocking and rolling because it's going to continue to heat up. Whatever you need, call the team at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've taken care of my house, my old house, and my new house, and they're also going to take care of yours. Upgrade your system now, and you can save up to $1,000. Call for details and schedule a free in-home estimate so you know exactly what you're getting into. They'll talk you through the entire process. They're great. Same-day service is available if you call before noon. You can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
Did a little comparison just to start the show. Tigers didn't play last night. Their record at this point in the season, identical to the 06 Tigers. A 16 went to the World Series. Mm-hmm. Did a comparison. Is this team better? I said, yeah, I think this team's better. A few ticket texts. 248-539-9797. Guy says, grade the managers. You guys left that out.
Okay, I'll let you go with that one.
I'm going to say A.J. Hinch.
I'm too. And as much as we love Leland, I mean, A.J. Hinch is just like, he's just pulling the right string every single time.
Yeah, Leland would do stuff to drive you crazy. Some of the bullpen management, or why is Don Kelly hitting second?
Well, so, but A.J. Hinch does too, right? On what was it Saturday where he burned Dylan Dingler? Like, okay, he's in the on deck batter, yeah, and he's going to go into pinch hit, and then all of a sudden, because he was announced and he gets swapped out, now he's burned. He doesn't do anything.
I think they're very different managers. Leland was always the king of, I'm going to use my gut, which is a lot harder to justify to the fans after the fact when you're like, well, I just know baseball. I've been around the game long enough. Grumble. He felt like he knew the game and could tap into stuff emotionally. He'd ream the team. He'd yell at guys. He'd challenge dudes. It's a completely different mentality than AJ, who's, hey, I'm going to play the psychology of this. I'm going to play the numbers. I'm going to be the puppeteer from afar and pull the strings. But I think AJ's done a great job.
Yeah, if you can remove the nostalgia and you can remove the, I mean, everybody loves the grumpy old guy, right? I mean, he becomes an endearing individual.
Yeah. Texter says, what were Bonderman's stats last year? He was pretty good. Probably right around Olsen. Olsen's ERA is under 3 right now.
Yeah, Bonderman's stats were, well, he was just over 4 for ERA. He was 14-8. 214 innings.
Hey, that's the thing. Those guys logged more innings. They had 3 200 inning guys back in 06.
Yeah, but, and one of them was not named Verlander.
Right. And then this one says, hey, Scooble's not a superstar. Paul in New Haven. Hey, Paul in New Haven. Blow it out your backside. Seriously?
All right. So 7-game series. Who wins?
This team.
Yeah, I think so.
I do too. And I think Hinch would exploit the matchups.
While Leland would have a more rigid,
cocky JV try to blow him by Carpenter.
Oops. Took him yard.
Kenny Rogers would get caught cheating. Remember that?
Yes, I do. Can we go back to the school?
Yeah,
the Scooble text. Yeah. He's absolutely a superstar. He doesn't walk anybody. Anybody. He's going to set strikeout per nine records, and he doesn't walk anybody. He's filthy. I remember Friday night watching the Apple TV broadcast, and they brought Craig Counsell on.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it's tough. We're trying to attack him early, but if we don't get him, his pitch count stays low, and he stays in the game longer.
Right.
So there's no win because you have to jump him early. He throws a ton of strikes. He's not going to walk you. If you don't swing at the first pitch, it's going to be a strike, and you're going to be down in the count with a guy who's filthy. But the trade-off is if you swing early and you don't get on base.
Then you have a five or six pitch inning, and you're like, wait a second here. We just...
He's going to throw eight innings. Right. Congrats. Tell them what they've won, John.
They're I mean, he is so aggressive. And I think what he does, it's great for young players. Not that you ever are going to grow up to be Tarek Skubal, but when you pitch with the accuracy that he pitches with, and then you pair that with the power that he has and some of the off-speed stuff that he has, like, I mean, he is by all means a superstar.
All right, we got a lot to do this morning. John had a topic that we've been meaning to get to involving the Detroit Lions. That's at 6:35. We're going to freeze college football in time later in the show. You get to pick your own era. We've always bitched, but you get to pick the best era of college football. All that and more. But first, Heather with the news.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, nurses from Henry Ford Rochester Hospital went on strike Monday. Obviously, they're working on contract negotiations. Those continue. They say they continue to stall over staffing ratios. That's what they're looking for. So the union is demanding better nurse-to-patient ratios to be included in their contract. The president of the union says no one wins in a strike, and all the nurses want is to safely serve their patients, and that's why they're doing this. And according to the union vice president, the nurses want mandated staffing minimums written into their contract.
The way I look at it is I don't want my nurse to be overworked and tired and exhausted.
Yeah.
If I was in a hospital as a patient.
No, I mean, I delivered my first Emily at this hospital. Everything was great. And then my OB office ended up switching hospitals because I feel like stuff with the nurses here has been going on for
some time behind the scenes.
Quite a while. Yeah. So because you don't want to show up, like you just said, yeah. And have, well, you don't want your nurse to be striking either.
Right.
While you're about
Correct.
To yes. have a baby or,
yes. or
go under surgery
procedure.
Or
yeah.
whatever it is, you know, yeah. Let's hope they get it all figured out soon. Federal agents have arrested a second University of Michigan scholar from China for smuggling biologic material into the United States through DTW. So this is actually the third case in less than 2 weeks that this or a Chinese national with ties to Michigan has been charged with federal crimes. This time, this woman has been charged with smuggling and lying to federal agents about packages she mailed to a lab at the university from September to March. And if convicted, she's going to face up to 20 years in federal prison. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
No joke.
Yep. Those two men arrested in the alleged plot to shoot up a high school graduation ceremony in Pontiac have now been charged. The men, aged 19 and 20, were caught on camera placing these packages underneath vehicles in the parking lot that contained loaded guns. Well, they were each charged with three weapons charges, and they could face additional charges moving forward. But carrying a firearm with unlawful intent and carrying a concealed weapon both carry up to 5 years in prison. And then possession of a firearm in the commission of a felony is a mandatory 2 years in prison.
I got to imagine there's a couple of conspiracy charges that might be on their way as well. Like, I mean, as they continue to dig into what the plan was.
Right. I think there's some issues with Snapchat going on because things disappear, right? That's where the threat was made. But I do think with further investigation, most likely more charges will come their way. Hey, tickets for the 2025 North Pole Express train rides go on sale later this month. The tickets range in price from $85 for coach to over $6,000 for a private car.
Oh, wow.
Which I think this would be a lot of fun. I think the kids would really like
it. Sure.
It's all Christmas themed, right? Like, but $85 is a lot. of money. Either way, the Steam Railroading Institute in Owosso announced on Facebook that they are pleased to announce tickets for the 2025 North Pole Express will be available on Tuesday, June 24th, beginning at noon. Now, the thing is, last year, these tickets sold out within an hour.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow. That's how in demand they are. So you better have that page pulled up, loaded, and ready to purchase your tickets if you want them. In fact, they were so popular, these tickets, they led to some scams. People were scamming people, trying to get them to buy these fake tickets. And let's not do that. But I mean, it sounds fun. I think the kids would like it.
It does sound very cool.
But kind of expensive for a three-year-old.
Christmas tends to be.
And a one-year-old. Yeah. I know, but
maybe make a little of that investment now. You don't have to invest so much come December.
They're still going to want everything in December, too.
Spread it out.
Yeah. And my daughter's birthday happens to be Christmas Eve, so we're like, we got double.
Whammy.
Woo! Fun. Anyway, I'll save my next news for my next news.
Perfect. An hour away, plus the two grand slam. Less than an hour away. Coming up next, John Jansen wants to shake some sense into us. It's 97.1. Less than an hour away from the two grand slam on a Tuesday. Good morning, 97.1. John, you have this observation. You've noticed something about the Lions.
Yeah, so about a week after they lost to Washington, it was right around a week, we did the topic, which loss hurt more? Was it the loss in the NFC Championship game going into the second half with a 17-point lead, knowing that you could have been in the Super Bowl? Or was it earning the number one seed and then losing the way that they did to the Commanders? A lot of self-inflicted wounds. Even if you did, you know, if you didn't have those, you more than likely would have won that game. Even though there was a bunch of injuries, and I know that there was a lot that went into it. And I know I said the NFC Championship game. And I still hold to NFC Championship game because of the context of the injuries. And I didn't think, you know, ultimately that they were going to be able to win the Super Bowl with the list that was, you know, basically given to us by the Red Cross. So, but a lot of people said NFC Championship game.
Yeah, you're closer.
Because you were one step away from the Super Bowl. And now that we are months removed, I still say NFC Championship game loss. But it feels like the hangover from the postseason last year, from the entire season, is greater this year. And I'm wondering, have you come to the realization that that loss hurt more and is going to continue to hurt more than the NFC Championship loss? Or is it simply just a really bad hangover?
We've all had one.
Yeah.
This is a bad one, John. I think some of it is to be as high as they were at 15-2, even with the injuries, 15 wins, pinch yourself every Monday, Victory Monday shows, and to have it all gone before you were ready for it. Like, you went into the Niners game thinking, we got a shot, but our season could end. I was at that playoff game last year. Nobody went into that building thinking the Lions season was going to end. I mean, we famously were discoing thinking they'd win by double digits. So you can imagine the harsh reality that sets in when they lose that game. Then throw in what's happened since. Well, see, because after the NFC title game, you were filled with optimism and hope, and they're going to be fired up, and they're going to build on it, and Dan Campbell's going to drill it in their head, and Penei Sewell's going to watch it and watch it and watch it. John, the offseason that followed this year's exit has been an offseason of, well, we lost the coordinators. Frank is retired.
We didn't add to the edge.
Right.
Like, it feels like there are just, it's a slow drip all offseason. And it was losing Ben Johnson. Then it was losing your defensive coordinator. And then it was, you know, going into the draft or free agency. Well, what are they going to do? And we still talk about it to this day. Whenever some type of new proposed trade comes up, the Trey Hendrickson deal comes up, and it was, you know, at the trade deadline last year. This is even going back to not Miles Garrett, it was Max Crosby at the time. Then it was Miles Garrett in the offseason. Now it's Trey Hendrickson. And it continues to go. And then you even get the news, and this falls into what I had talked about with Frank. You hear the news that Amon-Ra St. Brown had knee surgery. and everybody went into full panic mode. Oh my gosh, Amon-Ra St. Brown, is he going to be able to play? How long is he going to be out for the regular season? No, this plays into what I said last year. You have three seasons as a veteran guy, and now he is a veteran guy going into, what, his fifth or sixth year. You have the regular season, you have surgery season, and then you have rehab season, which takes you to the regular season. That's the cycle that happens. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, he even said it. When I heard the, saw the headline, I thought, just reading the headline, Amon-Ra St. Brown, like it must have been an ACL repair. And then you hear his audio. Yeah, I just had some things cleaned up and I'll be fine by training camp. Okay. Like the drama that people are putting themselves through this offseason, the sky is not falling. Dan Campbell is still there. Yes, the offensive line will be different, but you still have Gibbs and Montgomery in the backfield. You still have J-Mo, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Laporta. You've added other things to that offense. It's going to be okay. And it feels like going into this regular season, it can't get here fast enough. Because the longer it goes, the more people play these scenarios out in their minds. And it feels like instead of, even after Amon-Ra St. Brown, what did we say the expectations were for this team? Win the division. Mm-hmm. Now, we may take a couple of wins off. I was at 14. I haven't said if I'm going to back off or not yet because I want to see how the offensive line starts to take shape or form. But the sky is not falling. This is still a really good team. Oh, and throw on top of that, the schedule. Oh, my gosh. The schedule.
Yep.
How could they possibly win a game with this schedule?
And I think Dan Campbell's haunting words after the NFC title game, we may never get back here, paraphrasing that a little bit. Start to create a little bit of doubt. Let me throw this guys at you guys.
Yeah.
It's the first game last year, the Washington loss, that they lost by double digits in 24 games.
Yeah, it hit them like a freight train.
Yeah.
I'm talking fans. The fans got hit like a freight train.
Smacked in the face at home against a team that had a bad defense that gave up 55 the next week against the Eagles.
Yeah.
And self-inflicted mistakes, bad play calling, played out of character offensively, and then the defense played like they did in the Buffalo game.
Oh, and tell me if you haven't heard this narrative since then. Even though Jared Goff has had two phenomenal years, like really good, great years, and he led this team to 15 wins. Now, he laid an egg in that Washington game. There's no question about it. But that's the one game everybody is pointing to say, we can't win with Jared Goff.
It sounds like John is over the hangover. Like you had some hair in the
dog. Oh, I'm way over it.
You got some fluids in you.
Oh, yeah.
You're good to go.
Oh, I've got a hangover cure. And whether it's for a real hangover or it's for this hangover, and the cure is get back on the horse, get back out there on the practice field, and let's freaking go.
So let's revisit how throughout the course of this hangover, people didn't wear gear for a while.
Yep.
It's
real. I think the hangover is real. We're not making this up. It's real.
I pointed this out to you the other day. I said, I'm starting to see Lions trucks again.
Oh.
Like they, what, were they put away for the winter or
well,
something?
Well, no. People didn't park their cars.
I seriously have noticed more Lions trucks again like I did towards the end of last season. I think people were ashamed to drive their Lions trucks. Maybe not that much.
But. Yeah. I'm going to walk to work. I'm going to take the bus instead of my truck.
A little bicycle.
but the gear, like, okay, the Lions gear. You walk around town, now, okay, in the regular season, right, everybody's got it out because they're going to games, it's 15 wins, it's all of those different things. And yeah, when it's not the season, it's maybe not top of mind to wear your Lions stuff, but we are further down the road now, and I still don't see a lot of Lions gear being worn. You see it every once in a while, but you don't see a ton of it, and I'm wondering when is the time that people are going to pull the gear back out? When is it that they're going to get back on the horse and start looking at this season? And are they ever going to look with the optimism that a new season should bring?
When does the hangover end?
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, it's going to be show me. Show me that the offensive line can stabilize without Ragnow. Like, that's my big panic right now.
Well, and that's why I haven't said, to your point, that's why I haven't given a new win total after the retirement of Frank Ragnow, because I do want to see what that looks like. And I still want to see what additions or subtractions this team makes in terms of personnel.
But, John, let's say that they do get off to a hot start and they do win a lot of football games. The fan base is just going to say, so what? We won 15 last year and it didn't mean anything. The hangover cure may have to wait until January.
Well, mine doesn't.
I know. You're moved on. You don't have any
turn
bags
the page
in your eyes. You've moved on. You're not dragging like a lot of Lions fans still feel like they are.
You still have a hangover?
A little slight hangover.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Colin? Colin still got the hangover?
For sure. Without a doubt.
Did you notice, I don't know if you could even go back or if you would even be able to pinpoint, like after the NFC Championship game loss to San Francisco.
Yeah.
When did he start talking about next year? When did he start looking forward to what could possibly be?
He still really hasn't. I mean,
No, I'm talking about like from 2 years ago. Like,
oh.
When did he start getting ready for the 24 season?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a tough one because maybe only Colin could answer that one. But it feels like right now there are so many people that just have a hangover from last year. That loss hit so hard. Even though going into it, there were a lot of people that looked at it maybe even a little bit more realistically than we did.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries.
Some ticket texts. The 49ers loss felt like the start of a new era of Lions football. So while it stung, you could move on. The Washington loss felt like a warp into the past, John and Lake Orion, and that's why it's lingered. Then you throw in the adversity of the offseason. Texter says the Washington game was more of a shock, and it still got people shook. Fans weren't shook after the NFC title game. The Washington game brought back the SOL fans. The silver lining, though, is they weren't beating Philly anyway a year ago. Texter says it's a slow drip. The biggest thing was the self-created drama from the fans. John's right. And a texter says, my hangover ended this morning. Thank you, John Jansen.
Oh, there we go. All right. The cure for the hangover. So I also want to ask that question.
Yeah, we can take those two.
Uh-huh. Twofold. What are you getting over last year? Like, is the hangover starting to end? And what's your worst hangover been?
And how'd you get over it?
And what's your secret hangover cure?
Got a home remedy. We'll try to put that in Lion speak to try to help them get over this too. It's 97.1.
Hey, at First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and strong relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy to use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go. And their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They're going to take the time to get to know you, give some sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me and my family over the years and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do to find more information is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. You can learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
John had noticed something, and we had been kind of deciding when do we want to bring it up on the air. Today's that day. We've noticed that the hangover from the Lions' loss to the Washington Commanders has lingered much longer than their loss to the San Francisco 49ers.
And when you have a hangover, every little thing that happens, every little noise, every little bit of light seems so much worse than it would in any other day. And that's happened this year with... You know, and okay, I understand it's more than just a little bit of light during a hangover that Frank Ragnow retires.
Yeah, that's
that
like a
coordinator's leave.
Pounding headache.
Right, but it's every single thing that happens, and everybody's like, okay, well, I started with 12 wins. Now I'm down to 11. Now I'm down to 10. Now they won't make the playoffs. Like, that's what happens in a hangover.
So you noticed the hangover effect, and I think sitting across from you most days, I've noticed you getting frustrated that people are still hungover. Like, you want to shake some sense into them and say, it's not that bad. The sky's not falling. And you just did for people who missed it. So we have
Take a text in response from you guys, 248-539-9797. Do you feel the hangover still? Why? And hangover cures, Lions or otherwise. We'll take those on the ticket text, 248-539-9797, to which a ticket texter says, the cure for a real hangover is hair of the dog. The Lions comparison would mean they got to start playing football games again before people are going to get over last year.
Sure, and I think even just getting to training camp is something, and maybe it's, you know, mandatory minicamp that's happening. Like, maybe that helps a little bit. Little news coming out about what the offense looks like or the defense, and it's really going to be the fact that they do have the Hall of Fame game. They're going to be playing in the month of July. Like, we're going to have Lions football, actual preseason game in the month of July, and that will help a little bit.
But it's not going to cure a playoff hangover until you play a playoff game.
Sure.
Which, does that mean it's going to linger in the regular season where people aren't going to fully enjoy Lions football? They can't because of last year? 248-539-9797. Texas says, I'll wait until January. The last game has me thinking the squad is not capable of getting it done, Eric and Macomb. For a hangover, I usually have a banana and some aspirin. After listening to John, I no longer have the Lions hangover. He's put that banana inside me. Sparty Steve and Alkanak.
I want to say you're welcome for getting over the hangover, but I wish you had worded it differently.
John's giving people that good banana today.
Yeah, a banana. So I get the potassium and, you know, the nutritional value of it.
Something in your stomach.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's, I've never been a hair of the dog, like get back on the horse. That to me, no. But
it's the last thing you want to do.
You know, some grease in the morning is usually what does it for me. It's got to be a greasy, maybe a, like, you know, a McDonald's breakfast sandwich or some White Castle is something that'll really kick you into gear.
Specifically greasy potatoes, because then you get something in your stomach, whether that's a hash brown or like that is that good stuff. The oil and the grease.
So
I know you're thinking bacon when you say grease.
I'm bacon, sausage, you know, meat products.
You can cook the hash browns in the pan that you cooked the bacon in and really get the effect.
Yeah, once you've cooked your eggs in it. Yeah.
Of course. Mm-hmm. My hangover cure is 3 ibuprofen, a 25 milligram weed gummy, and pound 2 water bottles. That's Big John on his way to work.
Okay. All right. I've never done the weed gummy. Probably won't, but maybe that helps.
My hangover ended when the Tiger season started. They have distracted me from any pain and suffering the Lions may have caused. That's from Cam.
Yeah, that might be that certainly helps. And the Pistons making the playoffs. Like, there's a little bit something that distracts you from the uncomfortableness of a hangover.
Because we noted right when the Lions season ended, people were not rocking the Lions gear. There was a period of mourning. And we had just brought up that it feels like that has carried over. Ticket texter saying, well, it's because people were rocking their Pistons gear during the run and Tigers gear during the summer. But a ticket texter says, Gov's right. 3 Lions trucks in the neighborhood. I haven't seen them at all since the season ended. They were only the daily driving car when the team was good, signed Steve.
I just can't imagine that they've parked them and not used them. Like, who was
that? How rich are you that you're just
exactly. Or maybe
rotating.
they put a wrap on it.
They went and got it wrapped.
They got it wrapped.
There's no other team trucks in town. We don't see Tiger trucks.
No.
There's a real thing. Area I drive in, they're all back all of a sudden. It's like they came out when the weather finally broke.
Texter says, anyone who had the Lions at 14 wins before Ragnow's retirement should be questioned. Anybody who still says that afterwards, you're crazy. I think it's taken wins off the table losing Frank.
I think it certainly could.
And that's the thing. That is maybe the thing that, right as I was ready to get over the hangover, you're like, hey, the Lions will be at training camp. They still have a top 5 line. It doesn't matter who's calling plays. They'll win up front.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a top 5 line. Now you question whether they have a top 10 line, and I don't know if they'll have one come playoff time. So that is why I guess to answer this, like when January rolls around, I'll have my answer. Until then, sure, I want to see encouraging signs throughout 17 regular season games, but the question is going to fester in the back of your mind, are they going to be good enough to get it done?
What's been your worst hangover? Maybe it's the greatest night followed by the worst morning.
Have you ever had when you wake up and you still feel drunk?
Oh.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Sure.
Because you're like, I still don't feel like I got enough sleep. Probably one of those just post-college, early Grand Rapids bar nights.
Yeah.
And you wake up on a Saturday and you go, I'm still out of it right now.
Because
you're still going to have to go through the hangover and you're still not good from the night before.
Heather?
I'll tell you what, hangovers with children are the worst.
Yes, those noises.
Well, no, and you can't do, I mean, you can't be hungover. You still have to be a mom the next day. Yes. Those have been the worst. Not that there's many of them anymore because I don't go out anymore.
The opportunity to get the hangover
but
is not there.
But there has been a couple, and it's not fun.
Has it been a combo, Colin hungover, you at the same time?
No, it's always... It's always me. I'm sure he's not felt well sometimes too, but
some of this too is when you get older, the hangovers, you can't mess around. You can't drink like you used to.
I would die if I drank like I used to.
Sure. And you're a little bit wiser. You steer away. You know your limits. You're ready to you know, hey, I can go for two, but that third one, maybe that one becomes a sipper.
And the sneaky move is I'll pound water at the end of the night.
You got to do the alternation, I think. Like you drink water, drink water.
But if you find yourself where you haven't done
that. If you're having
a good
time, you're not going to
mix it into water. And then at the end of the night, that's kind of my catch-up time. How much water can I drink before I go to bed to help kind of offset so I don't wake up feeling as terrible?
Yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, we're asking you. I'll share my worst hangover. And the cure for it was not pleasant when we returned.
We'll get John's and we'll get yours. It's 97.1.